message this morning, I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you thought much about the Apostle Paul's life and ministry? Prior to being saved by God, Paul was on the way to becoming one of the, if not the most influential religious leader of his time. And he exercised his influence by persecuting and killing Christians. As he continued to persecute Christians, it seemed like his influence only increased. And then one day, as he was on his way to pursue the persecution of more Christians, God revealed himself to Paul in a wonderful display of God's free and sovereign saving grace. And that day, Paul was converted. He was taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And in that conversion, we see that Paul went from being in favor with men to being outside of man's favor. The one who once sought to have others persecuted became the persecuted. The one who once sought to kill was now the one hunted. In fact, Paul's persecution was so great that Jesus said of Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, he says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." What was Paul's crime? One side of the coin, you could say, well, Paul was obedient to his calling to be an ambassador for Christ to the Gentiles. That would be a true statement. But let's turn the coin around and look at the other side. The other side could be this. What was Paul's crime? Nothing. This was simply God's sovereign plan for Paul, that Paul would be in the midst of taking the gospel message to worlds beyond Jerusalem, that he would suffer greatly for Christ. Paul, who once enjoyed the favor of man, all of a sudden was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. He was stoned. He was beaten. Every time Paul turned around, danger was looming around every corner. He was in constant danger. He was in danger from men, and he was in danger from the physical elements in which he traveled. Now, Paul went through so much affliction and difficulty, one might think that he might have had every right to throw in the towel at some point. But Paul never quit. Paul never gave in to the pressures of the trials that God had given him. And I believe one of the reasons that Paul was able to respond to difficult circumstances so well is due to his understanding that his trials were not just for him. One of the reasons that I believe Paul was so able to endure the trials that God had given him was that he knew that his trials were not just for him. Paul understood that God's providence in his life, yes, was to transform his image into Jesus Christ, but he also understood that the providences that God gave him in his life were also for the benefit of others. I'm going to read our text this morning. We're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, but we're only going to be mainly looking at verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. In our last message in this conference on the sovereignty of God in all circumstances, I want us to consider our reaction to the difficulties that we face by seeing that God designs our pain for the comfort of others. God designs our pain for the comfort of others. And I hope this study would aid us in responding to the providence of God with joy, with trust, and expectation as to what God will do in and through us. Let's begin by looking at the source of comfort in verse 3. Paul begins by praising, exalting God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul begins by exalting God as the source of comfort. If you want comfort, whatever this comfort means that we're going to get to in a moment, you need to go to God. You need to go to Him who is the one who extends this freely to His children. And there's no doubt who Paul praises. He exalts the Father, but look also what he says. Not only does he bless the Father, but he also says, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord here refers to Christ's unmatched and unrivaled absolute rule over all things, and in particular His people. In other words, what Paul is doing in this text is he's drawing our attention that Jesus Christ is reigning. Jesus Christ is ruling. He is supreme ruler over all things. He is unmatched, unrivaled. In other words, the source of all comfort is the one who reigns on the throne. So Paul exalts the Father, but he also points to the supremacy of Jesus Christ as ruler and king. So Paul begins by exalting the person of God. And then he says to us that He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what one deserves. In light of God's holiness, we all deserve eternal wrath. And God's mercy extended to His elect removes such a penalty. So just think about mercy for a moment. Not getting what we deserve. So no matter what we see, receive as a trial, it is no trial within the context of what we deserve. It doesn't matter how much pain, affliction, difficulty, heartache, turmoil we go through. It's not hell. And we have to understand that anything that is not eternal wrath is mercy. Not only is the God of all mercies, but it says also He's the God of all comfort. Now, what does comfort mean here? It does not mean merely to subjectively feel something. It's not simply a feeling of relief. It is not the goosebumps that sometimes we want in life to help us go through trials. No, here it means to strengthen. It means to embolden. It means to give courage. What Paul is saying is God and our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that strengthens us. He emboldens us. He's the one that gives us courage to be able to continue and to endure our afflictions. One commentator wrote that Paul is referring to his present state of peace in the midst of adversity because of his confidence in God's willingness and ability to deliver His people. In other words, what we're saying here is that Paul's theology empowered him with great ability to make it through great trials because his theology taught him that God would not let him fall. Paul knew that God would not let him slip. Paul's theology enabled him to endure affliction because it gave him strength. And the ESV Study Bible rightly states that comfort is the overall disposition that comes from resting in God's sovereignty and loving rule as manifested in Christ's lordship. So if we are going to experience endurance in the midst of our trials, afflictions, we must learn to rest. We must learn to trust in the sovereignty of God. We need to stop trying to figure out everything as to why this is happening. And we need to trust God that He is reigning and ruling and dispensing goodness to us, even when we may not understand it. As we walk through this text, you're going to see that this text is dripping with comfort. In fact, the word comfort is mentioned 5 times in the 2 verses that we're going to look at this morning. And it is mentioned another 5 times in the next 3 verses. The Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to the fact that comfort is given to us by God. And if we're going to have strength and if we're going to endure, we must have a vital communion with God so that He will give us this strength. So where do we go to get comfort? Where do we go to get relief from the pain that we experience? To whom or to what do we look? You know, we live in a day of self-esteem. It tells you to look inward. We live in a day of drugs. Look in the bottle. We live in a day of lawsuits. Look to the lawyer. We live in a day with no responsibility. Look for an out. So to whom do you look for strength and enablement and comfort? In the book of Isaiah, we see several passages that speak of God's ministry of comfort to His people. Let me just read these to you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Isaiah 51, verse 3, "For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places." Isaiah 51, verse 12, I am He who comforts you. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." So when we talk about the sovereignty of God, when we talk about responding and finding hope in God's providences in our lives, and we talk about having a big view of God, do you see God as a comforting God? Because this is who He is. This is what He dispenses to His children. To receive comfort is grace from God. In other words, when we see that God is a comforting God, we need to realize we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of the strength and enablement that He gives us. We must look to God as He is the only relief in the midst of our trials. You will find no lasting comfort. You will find no lasting strength or empowerment by looking to cover up your pain by looking to pills. You won't find any lasting strength by seeking to get revenge with somebody. And you will find no lasting empowerment to endure afflictions by seeking to escape from the pain. No, God calls His children to stay in the affliction. He calls us to be in the midst of the pain. And in that, He will strengthen us. He will enable us because He alone is our refuge. He alone is the one that provides lasting benefit and comfort to His people. So God is the God of all comfort. Now let's transition now and look at when do we receive comfort? When do we receive this strengthening and enablement? Look at verse 4. "Who comforts us in all our affliction." All of us like comfort, don't we? All of us like strength. All of us likes enablement. But here's the question. When does God comfort? When does God encourage? When does God strengthen? Or put it differently, when do we need comfort? When do we need encouragement? When do we need strength? We need comfort when we're in pain. We need encouragement in difficulty. We need strength in weakness. Wouldn't it be great to have comfort without the pain? Wouldn't it be great to have encouragement without the discouragement? Wouldn't it be great to have the strengthening without the weakness? Why is it that we welcome the comfort, but we shun the trials? See, we have to come to grips with the reality that the comforting God comforts us in an experience that our natural disposition does not like. So God is calling us to experience something that goes beyond the native ability of our creatureliness to respond to. And it is yet precisely in pain and in turmoil that God brings us comfort. Now the word here for affliction means a crushing pressure. It means a crushing pressure. It's as if all of the sides of your life are being pressed in. You have no room to move. What does this feel like? What does this look like? Well, Paul illustrates for us what this affliction looks like by a severe trial that he went through. Look here in verse 8. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivers us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again." You know what a crushing pressure feels like? It's one that brings us to the end of our